Hi everyone, it's Dave Dutton. This is Turnbuckle Trash. Coming up, we'll be talking with Zane O'Mac. Zane Peterson joins us on the road on I-15. We'll talk about what's going on in the world of professional wrestling, including why the WWE insist on either regurgitating storylines or not even doing a storyline. Chris joins us a little bit later on. We'll talk about All Elite Wrestling, NWA Power, commentating, and more. And then Zane and I actually get very serious talking about steroids in the world of professional wrestling and professional sports. Hang around. This is going to be a great episode of Turnbuckle Trash. But before we start, NXT.
And on the anniversary of the release of the Nutcracker Sweet Call with his own version of the Nutcracker.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into pudding! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out!
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, not only is it Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, it is Zane and Dave. This is Turnbuckle Trash. How you doing, Zane O'Mac?
Yeah, I was going to say, you better get that name right, Dave. You know how we always joke, you know, I don't know why it always cracks me up when I think back to the old radio days of, you know, joining us via touch-tone telephone.
Yes.
You know, so, like, I guess would I be joining you via portable cellular device right now, or?
One of those cellular telephones, the kind of car phone that James Bond would be proud to have. You are.
Yeah.
The
so,
man.
So now you could be like, joining us via portable cellular device is Dave.
Yes, the cell phones is a wonderful thing if it works. Yeah, that's the best thing.
Yeah, so, nothing makes you happier and madder than a cell phone, right?
It does, man. I tell you what.
Kind of like your wife.
I'm not going to play this for her. So.
Dave, what's been going on in the world of professional wrestling? I know we had a couple PPVs over the weekend. Looks like there's some interesting things going on with the National Wrestling Alliance. ROH crowned a new champion, from what I understand.
Yeah, we had three big pay-per-views over the weekend. So,
start with the Friday. What was going on Friday?
Well, on ROH television, they have their annual end of the year event, Final Battle, and as part of that, they had Rush, who is a Mexican competitor. It's spelled R-U-S-H like Rush, but it's pronounced Rush, and man, this guy is a lot of fun to watch. He went against PCO. Is that how they say that? The French Canadian Frankenstein is the way they're kind of pulling him out right now. He's remember the Quebecers back in the WWE?
Yeah,
he was a member of the Quebecers, and
okay.
He's in his 50s now. Of course, he's filled out into his 50s body. And he kind of goes like a monster character. I mean, they put shoulder pads on him, and he goes around going, and he's supposed to be indestructible. And actually, he won the Ring of Honor title from Rush this past week. Yeah.
So, it goes to show you that even in your 50s, you can still get the job done, huh?
Yeah, just ask the Rock and Roll Express.
Yeah, they're in their 60s.
Yep, they're up there, yeah.
And, James Storm, he's getting up there, too. He's in his 40s.
Uh-huh.
And Tim Storm, he's in his 50s.
It all depends on whether you can perform and whether the crowd likes you or not. That is the whole story there. Because, I mean, you got Jerry Lawler in the 70s still performing. You've got superstar Bill Dundee still out there performing. And, you know, as long as you can perform, as long as you get a pop from the crowd, you know, age really doesn't matter that much.
Wow. Someone may say it's like a fine wine, Dave. How only gets better with age.
Well, I wish mine's just turning into vinegar. That's all. Mine's not like a fine wine. It's just, oh. I'm just kind of.
So pretty soon you're going to be drinking pickle juice.
Yeah. I need some pickle juice, I'm telling you. Oh, man. After the last couple of weeks, I could use just about anything. So.
Yeah. You know, Dave, you could always, the liquor store's not that far from your house.
No, it's not. It's not that far.
Go get some Jack Daniels. I'm sure that would take the edge off things.
It'd take a lot of edge off things. It can also take off chrome. So, you know, that's a whole new subject as it is. But with
that's one we'd have to ask Chris about. He's more well versed in the world of paint strippers.
Yeah. So. Neither one of us really imbibes that much, or any of me. It's been a rough couple of weeks. Yeah.
So Saturday was NWA's Into the Fire.
Into the Fire, and man, I wish I'd have watched the complete show. I've just seen highlights and snippets of it. But as people that listen to the show know, I recently had a neck surgery and I was kind of out of it on Saturday, so I didn't get to watch it. I'm still thinking whether I want to pay the $25 to watch it on Fight TV. I'm just sitting there, just don't know yet. So.
Yeah. You'd think that after it's aired, it would be cheaper than $25.
Yeah, you would think. You'd think they'd drop it down to about 10, but eh. Yeah, they're trying to make a buck too. So
yeah, it's all good.
But Nick Aldis is still the champion of the NWA, and he took on James Storm, and evidently there was cheating abounding, as James Storm said that Nick Aldis took apart the turnbuckle, you know, the padding there, and passed his head into it, and that's why. He lost the match. I saw that little interview with James Storm. And by the way, is there anybody in the business that cuts a better promo than James Storm, the Cowboy?
Cowboy James Storm is so awesome.
Oh, he is incredibly good.
You know, I Billy Corgan needs to figure out a way to get Bobby Roode out of his contract and get him over to NWA.
Well,
could you imagine the pop that they would get if they reformed Beer Money in NWA?
Man, alive.
I mean, and you know, an NWA is quite big on tag team wrestling, and man, that would just be so bad, wouldn't it?
Well, if Bobby Roode continues to be suspended for wellness policy issues, maybe that will happen.
Yeah, you know, that's something we need to bring up. Let's save that for later.
Okay,
keep that thought in the. Fresh in the back of your mind.
It's back in the recesses.
As we continue down the road and swerve to miss the tables, the ladders, and the chairs. They're dropping everywhere, Dave. They're dropping everywhere.
That was another pay-per-view this past weekend. Did you watch any of that?
You know, I watched I watched the Kofi Kingston and Dash Wilder and is it Dash and Dawson?
Yeah. The revival.
The revival. Boy, they're good, aren't they?
Man, both teams.
I kind of was sad that the New Day retained, man.
But wasn't it an entertaining match, though?
Yeah, dude, those guys are good. I'm glad to see that they're not in the shower scrubbing each other's backs anymore, but I think that ruined their – I think that really put a roadblock in their careers there when the WWE was using them for comic relief instead of being what they are. They're excellent, man.
Yeah, they are. When they did that comic relief stuff, that was it wasn't needed at the time, and they kind of buried them a little bit there. But yeah, man.
Yeah.
But Kofi Kingston did some things in that match that were absolutely incredible when he was on the top of the ladder, and they tipped that ladder, and he
and landed, he stood on the ropes
Yeah, it was unreal.
Yeah, that was absolutely unreal. I mean, you know, that boy, that just goes to show you that how fake that is. You know, there must have been some sort of gravity retention in those ropes, and you know, had to be some cables hanging from the ceiling or something. I mean, totally fake, right, Dave?
Oh, yeah. You know, I showed that portion of that to my wife, just that portion, and she says, if he'd have missed that, he'd have killed himself. I said, guaranteed. I mean, yeah, and that's a small rope, yeah.
I mean, do you think something like that was... I mean, do they practice something like that? Is he just that good?
I think he practiced it. I think it was a spot that they probably came up with. I'd hope so. I'd hate
to
do that.
But still, dude, if you miss that spot, then you're in big trouble.
Yeah, I mean, if your foot slips, I mean, you're going to go halfway in between those ropes, and you're going to hang yourself. And it was an incredible spot. I got to admit, that was one of the high spots of the year, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely.
That was unreal. So.
Oh, dude, tell me about that Aleister Black, Buddy Murphy match.
Whew!
That was killer. That was just, you know, that right there, Dave, that right there is proof that you don't need all the BS, you don't need all the crap, you don't need all the hype, you need good guys in the ring going head to head.
And incredible storytelling inside the ring.
Inside the ring.
Uh-huh.
Dude, and I love the way Aleister Black, I love those strikes and just how he just, it's like he surprises you because he's so quiet and he's so, you know, the way his character is and stuff. Then all of a sudden you'll see him hit those ropes and do something crazy out of the blue, and you're like, where did that come from?
I know.
You know, and Buddy Murphy's just great.
He's solid, isn't he? You know,
I mean,
those two, I mean, the commentators on the match were kept on saying, this is the future. I'm saying the future should be now. These two should be fighting for a title instead
absolutely.
Of just picking a fight with me. I would say the match of the night, bar saying that the match with the two tag teams that opened and closed were very, very close. Those were the three matches of the night. The
you know, help me understand the OC and the Viking Raiders thing. So I thought the OC were bad guys.
They are. And the Viking Raiders are being put over as kind of a heel bad guys. You know, the tough guys nobody wants to wrestle. Confusing.
I don't know how to explain, how to say it, but those guys from New Japan coming to the WWE, help me out here. How far? It's like they've taken a step back.
Which team are you talking about?
Doug Gallows and Luke Anderson.
Yeah, when you said coming in from
Luke
Japan,
Gallows and,
yeah.
and Anderson. Yeah.
Both of them have performed in New Japan. I mean, the War Raiders, Viking Raiders, or War Machine, whatever you called them, they were going between ROH and New Japan for quite a while, and they really made a huge name for themselves in New Japan Wrestling before settling in with NXT. So that's where I got a little confused. But with the original club, the one and only, the club that only matters, the OC, and how big they were in Japan as the Bullet Club with AJ Styles, I just don't think they've ever been booked quite properly, but they're getting close to it now with being the best tag team in the world, winning that title. So
I guess maybe I was reading too much into it. I mean, I just didn't really understand what was going on, and I kind of was like, what's going on here? Why aren't these guys, like, holding the goal, you know?
Well, that was the setup when they did that tag team turmoil over in Saudi Arabia, and that's when the OC won the trophy as the best tag team in the world, and then you've got the Viking Raiders with the championship belts, and they've had a little – I'm going to get on my soapbox here for just a little bit, Zane. Holy four corners of the when will the WWE start being able to develop a story before a pay-per-view better than they don't have time to develop anything. This feud between the Viking Raiders and the OC was only going for about 3 to 4 weeks. And yeah, this is something that they should have been building up for probably 3 to 4 months before a pay-per-view like this, at least 2 months. And that aggravates me.
Here's the thing, too, is it's like, if you're not going to take the time to do the storyline and to write a decent story, at least give them the freedom to tell the story in the ring.
Right, right.
You know, instead of holding them back and, oh, no, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't say this, you can't say that. I enjoy listening to Busted Open Radio. With Dave LaGreca and Bully Ray. And right. So I listened to the Busted Open podcast yesterday, and this kind of fits in with what you're saying. And Bully Ray was talking about the lack of drama as to what's happening in the writers and the producers of these matches and of these stories. And where is the drama? Where's the part that makes you believe in the character?
Boy, Bully Ray hit it, man. He hit the nail on the head, man.
And he talked about the Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, and the Kabuki Warriors match. And he said it was a great match.
It was.
It was a violent, you know, lots of tables, lots of high spots. But he says I felt kind of gypped because I didn't feel like I was getting, he's like, there was no, it was lacking something. So what do you, tell me what you think.
They missed the boat in that particular match by, Bully Ray was right, not building the drama. They should have had maybe a little bit more friction between the queen and the man, which they started building that up the week before. But where was it when the match was going on? There was no friction between the two of them. Now, Zane evidently was concussed early in the match.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why she was not on Monday Night Raw this week. And I'm going to be a sexist pig here right now. I mean, this is Dave the sexist pig speaking. Holy crap, I think Asuka's hot. I mean, oh, man.
Oh, absolutely.
I think she is just gorgeous.
Why is that so sexist? That's speaking the truth.
But it is, you know, true, yeah.
A fine-looking lady like that deserves to be complimented.
And she is an incredible performer that has not been used right.
Yeah.
Until the, you know, this I love this tag team that she's going on right now with the Kabuki Warriors. Love it.
Yeah.
But if they could have built the drama with maybe some friction between Becky and the man, and maybe they try the mist, you know, the green mist, and it doesn't work for some reason. Maybe they miss it. Maybe she blows the mist and she hits Kairi Sane in the face. There, that would be the drama that Bully Ray is talking about.
Yeah.
And it was a good match.
Bully Ray says, here you got, you know, Charlotte going for the belt, and you know, she comes climbing up the other side and hits her with the green mist, and you know, Charlotte falls off the top of the ladder, and in comes Becky Lynch to save the day. And you know, he said it was just mist. It was lacking the drama, lacking the story behind it or something, you know. And
missing, and I would say
I
that
think
is
that's
the hook.
Happened a lot lately though.
Yeah, they missed the hook. What is going to make people gasp? What's going to make people say, holy crap, missing, you know, the mist would have been good. Maybe having Becky and Charlotte go at it for just a short time before the Kabuki Warriors come in there, and then they team up against the Kabuki Warriors.
Or having Becky turn on Charlotte.
Yeah.
And, you know, beating her down again and just being like, see, I told you I was the man.
Yeah.
I'm not going to team with you, you stuck-up hoe bag, you know? Like, or Charlotte turning on Becky. I mean,
yeah.
You know, that's kind of what I was scratching my head. I was like, okay, wait a minute. Like, 2 months ago, they hated each other's guts, and now all of a sudden they're on the same team, and they're like BFFs.
That was kind of set up on the Monday Night Raw before the Go Home Show, when Becky took on a 2-on-1 match with the Kabuki Warriors, and then she says, "Okay, Charlotte, I don't like you, but let's team together. Enemy of my enemies, you know, that kind of thing." Yeah, blah blah blah. And let me put this to you, okay? When you're talking about that match, I'm going to go to, and this is all going to tie in, I promise. The Bray Wyatt and the Miz, Bray Wyatt and the Miz, with all the stuff that has happened with Daniel Bryan over the last couple of weeks, okay? With the Fiend in the background, then Bray Wyatt threatening the Miz's family, which I didn't like that end of it at all, to be honest with you. I mean, keep the kids out of it. That's all I got to say. You know, if he wants to threaten his wife, Maryse, that storyline. But when you get, you know, little toddlers involved, and that's just kind of sick. I didn't like that part of it.
Yeah.
But 2 weeks before, when the Fiend attacked Daniel Bryan and pulled him underneath the ring and started pulling his hair out, I was going, okay, Daniel's going to come back and he's going to have short cropped hair, which he did. But pulling that back up to the storyline, the hook that Bully Ray was talking about with the women's tag team match, why did Daniel Bryant come back to attack Bray Wyatt? Because, now follow me on this, all the announcers have been saying for the last 2 weeks was saying, facing the Fiend and Bray Wyatt changes a man, changes a man, changes a man. So my thought process was, okay, they're going to bring Daniel Bryan back, and he's going to be led by Bray Wyatt and the Fiend. He's going to be brainwashed.
Mind controlled.
Yeah, mind controlled, because it changes a man, changes a man. No, he comes back and attacks Bray Wyatt and does the yes move it thing. I was sitting there saying, missed opportunity, completely missed opportunity for a great storyline going up into WrestleMania. Holy moly, you know, or holy other things, you know. They missed the mark. I mean, I love Daniel Bryan. I love him as a good guy. I love the yes movement. But don't you think it would have been better if he had joined forces with Bray Wyatt and been his henchman or something? That would have been
absolutely
so good.
And, you know, why not try it out for a while?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we've seen the yes movement. The yes movement's, it's like Vince McMahon's like, hey, what was cool 5 years ago? Oh, Daniel Bryan, you know, when he, you know, had the sit-in and the, maybe we should do that again. It's like, no, come on, it's already been done.
Try something different.
I know that there's certain storylines that always get regurgitated, you know, love triangles and things like that. I mean, think of Hollywood. How many times has Die Hard been done just in different scenarios, you know?
Right, yeah.
And it's like the good guy versus all the bad guys, you know, he's all alone, but somehow he figures out a way to overcome. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's all about the entertainment value and the story.
Right.
You know, of that character, of the main guy. And it's like, here's Daniel Bryan, who we've seen the yes crap. We've seen this all. It's like, it's been regurgitated so many times over the last few years. You know, what a good opportunity to bring back in the feud to the Miz with him. You know, if he would have showed up and actually attacked the Miz.
That's
you know,
what I thought Miz, was going to happen.
The Miz could come out and be like, you know, I told you, you were a scoundrel, you were a scumbag, you know, from years ago when you were on SmackDown, you haven't changed a bit. And there's a good feud right there.
Right.
And here's the Fiend in the background, you know.
Laughing
because he's just put two people against each other. And that could be kind of a thing that the Fiend does for a while, too, is he gets one guy stirred up and then, you know, six his henchmen on him or something.
Right. And then you think about this. You think about if they would have had Daniel Bryant turn on the Miz, you know, attack the ring and act like he's going after Bray Wyatt, and then all of a sudden he attacks The Miz and beats the you-know-what out of The Miz while Bray Wyatt's over in the corner just cackling, and then they put on the mask. At least one of them puts on the mask and walks away. The crowd would have went absolutely insane.
Maurice run out, and Bray Wyatt kidnaps Maurice and disappears under the ring. You know, and it's like, there's storytelling right there.
Missed opportunity after missed opportunity. Because, and I'm going to say this, I've said it a million times, and I'm going to say it a million more times, and I'm hoping that it'll eventually just trickle to the creative staff at WWE. You're not thinking things through because you have too many stories, too many stars, too many things you're trying to do instead of trying to come up with some really good storylines. You're trying to do too many, and they don't work. Bobby Lashley, Lana, Rusev, give me a break.
Yeah, you know, another missed opportunity. Why is Bobby Lashley feuding with Rusev? I mean,
makes no sense.
You know, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, Bobby, I don't know. It's just like, they're like, oh, hey, we've got a couple guys that are tough and they're really good. What should we do with them? Oh, I don't know. Put them in a love triangle. Yeah, that always seems to work.
Blah, blah, you know? Blah, 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 yeah.
And, you know, and I don't know. I don't like stuff like that because, you know, Lana and Rusev are married in real life.
Right.
And you know, to have them, it's like on Instagram and Facebook and crap, they're taking pictures together and all lovey-dovey, and then, you know, on Raw, they hate each other. It's right. Like, oh, come on, you know? It's like, this isn't working.
Okay, and then one more thing that I just have to answer or ask. The Seth Rollins heel turn with the OP. OP or the AP? Seth Rollins. Yeah. Authors of Pain, AP. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't mind the heel turn. Don't mind it at all. I like the heel turn. But I'm sitting there watching this on Monday Night Raw when Seth Rollins is out there trying to explain his actions. And something came to my head. Once and again, where in the blue blazes of you know where is Mr. Boring in the Bank, Brock Lesnar?
Yeah.
Where in the heck is this dude? They barely bring him up anymore. Give me a break. I want to know why. Once again, the WWE starts a storyline, stops it, doesn't give us a resolution, doesn't tell us why it's happening.
Well, and he then just another left thing, yet. Too, is like Kevin Owens. I mean, Kevin Owens is the best bad guy. He plays the best bad guy.
Yes, he is.
I mean, why is all of a sudden he a good guy?
Because they need good guys.
That's
it.
I'm not a big Seth Rollins fan. It's nothing against him. He's whatever. He's talented, yada, yada, yada. I've never been a big Seth Rollins guy, but I don't like his character choices at all.
Right.
He's like the guy in the group that's trying to fit in or something. You know, he's trying to be the leader of the locker room, but he's not quite there yet, you know?
And that's the good part about this particular storyline of him. I'm the leader, but no, he's not. But I'm the leader, but no, I'm not. Yeah, I'm a leader. No. And I think that's probably where that storyline does work a little bit.
I understand where they're going with it.
Right.
But I don't like the Kevin Owens part of it.
Right. And why wasn't
Kevin Owens is a better bad guy. Kevin Owens is a better heel. I mean, let's just, you know.
Yeah.
Owens is the best bad guy ever. And I just don't like him trying to be put over as a good guy. It just doesn't work for me.
I agree. I totally 100% agree, but I got off a little bit on the Daniel Bryan thing and then Seth Rollins, but that's what we're doing. We're here discussing what's going on.
No, that's okay. You know, let's come back to Saturday's pay-per-view with NWA. You know, here's a company that has good talent and short shows and good wrestlers, and you know, as far as their drama goes, I would say that most of their stuff is in the ring. You know, they talk, you know, the interview table, and they work through things or whatever, and then they fight in the ring. I mean, it's just kind of like, and then they're on to the next, which is fine with me. I think, I mean, if that's, I think that's good. Because they're using the talent. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like some people were mad that what's Damian Sandow's Aaron Stevens.
Now
some people are mad that Aaron Stevens is the what's the title called?
The North American title. You haven't seen Power this week, have you? Because Power he claims to have a third degree belt in that karate. And now he's put it as a third degree North American title belt too, and he's changed his name to Shooter Stevens. I love it. I love it.
I love it too.
That is so fun.
You know, people are like, "Oh, you shouldn't have that belt on a comedic character."
Why not?
Like, why not? You know, one of the biggest missed opportunities in the WWE was when what's his name? Old Cobra.
Boy, you draw. You maybe Santino Marella.
Yeah. But you know, when Santino Marella was in the Elimination Chamber,
uh-huh.
and he got down to he was the second to last guy.
Uh huh.
And everybody's like, "Holy crap! He's gonna win the WWE title!" Like, everybody was behind him. It was so cool.
It would have been fun.
And then they're like, "Oh, never mind, psych." And it's like, "Oh, come on!" You know, even if he would have only held it for 72 hours, it still would have been cool.
Yeah, and we're talking creativity, right? Being creative with your book. The NWA did something on this week's Power that I absolutely loved because it was creative. They've come up with this new television title, and they're having a tournament. But each tournament match somebody has to win to advance, but they have to do it within 6 minutes and 5 seconds because they start their show at 6:05 on Tuesday night, and 6:05 they have to either if it goes to a draw, both competitors are eliminated.
Awesome.
I love it.
Awesome, because again, it's ideas. It's different. It's thinking outside of the box. You know, it's more. You know, and I'd love to see things like that we don't see anymore. You know, hair versus hair matches and bull rope matches and kendo stick on a pole matches. I mean, where's the good old fashioned things to bring hype? And I'm not saying blood and guts. I'm just saying, you know, where's these little things that you can keep regurgitating that are fun?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when was the last time you saw a hair versus hair match?
You haven't in a long, long time.
A long time. But could you imagine the Seth Rollins losing his beautiful locks? You know, Seth Rollins versus Baron Corbin.
Well, maybe we'll have a dog food match eventually with Roman Reigns and Baron Corbin.
Let's talk about that for a minute. Are they going to have a puppy dog on a leash match? Like, if Roman gets to the puppy first and teaches it how to sit, then he wins.
But you know what? They could have a dog collar match, man.
Yeah.
Remember the dog collar matches where they put them on?
Yeah.
And you could pull that guy around, maybe like the Four Corners Texas death rope match. Yeah. They're not thinking these things. That's why I said they're not thinking them through.
You know,
it's just saying, "Look, put them in the ring, and blah blah blah." People will love it. They'll go, "New Day rocks, New Day rocks." You know, or they'll chant. That's all the WWE is doing right now is trying to get people to chant.
You know, how much more value would have been added to that Roman Reigns match if there was some sort of stipulation like that, like a dog collar match, and you would have seen Roman dragging Baron Corbin around the ring like a wet noodle.
Yeah.
You know, and here comes Baron Corbin, you know, and he's choking Reigns out with the leash, and you know, he passes, you know, even if he wins or whatever, he cheats and you know, they choke Roman Reigns out, he gets disqualified, and then Dolph Ziggler runs in and they beat the piss out of Roman Reigns.
Right.
After he's already down and out, and then it makes Baron Corbin look like an a-hole because he just choked Roman Reigns out, and then Dolph came out and they double teamed him and beat the piss out of him. And if you're trying to get Baron Corbin heat, I don't know.
There's other ways to do it.
Yeah, besides everybody hates Baron Corbin right now. Uh-huh. Not because he's a good heel. They hate him because they don't like him, because they want him to just leave. Like, if Baron Corbin fell off the face of the planet and never showed up on WWE TV again, like, you and I wouldn't go, hey, where's Baron Corbin been for a while?
Right.
I haven't seen him on TV for a minute. But now somebody like John Cena or somebody with a little name behind him, it's like, man, where is Cena? I want him back. You know? It's like, come on, man. Put Hollywood aside for a minute and get your butt back in the ring.
Yeah.
Like, we need something back, something refreshing. And I don't know. It gets tiring, and that's why I love the smaller promotions right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got this going on in NWA. I think All Elite, although I think their women's division is really weak, All Elite is starting to get really fun with MJF turning on Cody. But evidently MJF lives his character a little bit too much, because he's been yanked from doing all the publicity tours and all the interviews. He tends to tick off interviewers a little bit too much. So evidently he has been yanked from doing the publicity interviews and just going to be doing stuff in the ring.
That's fine with me.
Me too.
That's called kayfabe, man.
Yeah. He's living the character, I mean, and I love it.
That's what's supposed to happen. It's like, that's why the Rusev and Lana thing is so unbelievable. It's just like, come on, guys, really? Like, they just got married. Why would they all of a sudden hate each other now?
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Okay, we'll be back with more of our conversation with Zane Peterson. We'll get into steroids. We'll talk about creativity in the smaller promotions and more. It's all coming up. But up next, it's Chris on the Mat after we revisit NXT and a little Christmas cheer.
And on the anniversary of the release of the Nutcracker Sweet Call with his own version of the Nutcracker.
And a little Christmas from John Cena, along with Elias and the Macho Man.
It's Christmas, it is. Hit it one more time.
Well, it's Christmas time in Chicago. Oh, it's Christmas Day. I can't imagine a better place to spend my holiday. Why don't you take it away, John? You feeling good?
So have yourself a merry little...
St. Nick.
Man, Macho Man, Macho Man.
Oh. Yeah. Five. Yeah.
Five. Macho Man, Macho Man, Macho Man.
Oh. Yeah.
Seven.
Yeah.
Five. Macho Man, Macho Man. Seven.
Five.
Real judgment. So they still got a couple of things. And here's a couple of things that I think they're doing wrong, okay?
Okay.
Fans' opinion, my opinion only, too many factions. They have the Elite with Kenny Omega, possibly Hangman Adam Page, and then the Young Bucks are part of the Elite. And they've been doing that for a long time. I understand that. Okay, but then you have the Inner Circle with La Champion, and then all those other goofuses there. which I, you know, that I don't dislike it, not at all. I mean, I like the Inner Circle, but then they come out with the Dark Order, and I don't comprehend why they need the Dark Order at this time. Does that make any sense?
It's almost like the New World Order.
Yeah, but there's so many people there that just, yeah, that's a mistake. Yeah.
It's a big mistake. Why have all these factions right now? Why don't they just, they should only have one faction, and that should be just the Inner Circle, and everybody is against the Inner Circle. That should be the only thing they should have.
And then they could have, maybe they could have the Elite come in. Remember when on Impact, when they had Bully Ray with his aces and eights, and then you had the dudes with the Attitude come in? That was, you know, two different factions, but one was a good guy faction, one was a bad guy faction, and that kind of worked. This one, I'm not seeing it work, because if you're in the Dark Order, why aren't you going after the Inner Circle? Huh?
But have you seen the previews for the Dark Order, though? On their little...
Yeah.
The little post... The Dark Order makes no sense.
That doesn't right now, so... Maybe they'll turn it around. I don't know. Then they've got so many of them.
Who's the fat guy that walked into like the church? Who is this guy?
Kind of looked like me. I'll tell you that.
No,
a lot younger. He was supposed to be some guy that was looking for somebody, some kind of families, people that would be his friends, and it just didn't make any sense. I mean,
well,
it's
go
not
down
working.
Sesame Street and see Big Bird. No. Oscar the Grouch. But no, come on. No, this Dark Order is...
And then you bring in the Bunny, the Blade, and the Butcher, kind of like a faction, a tag team with the Alley as the Bunny and then the Blade and the Butcher. Is that a faction? Is it going to be a faction? If it's going to be another faction, then they need to get rid of a faction. I mean, you can't have all these different factions running around, or they didn't learn their lessons from the New World Order, the NWO Red, and the Latino World Order. There were just too many things out there.
Have you noticed now that AEW is going down the same road that WCW is doing?
I got to admit.
It's almost like we're watching WCW Nitro all over again.
It's getting there.
I mean, it's kind of scary the way, and then you have Cody Rhodes coming on there saying, well, we're the new generation, and we're not going to be like the old generation is. We're the new people. No, you're not. You're doing the same damn thing again.
Yeah.
You're doing the same thing.
I agree.
And nobody, and then your attendance records are going down, although we really can't confirm that.
Yeah.
But, and then your ratings are going down. NXT is just as white hot as it can be.
Well,
guess what?
NXT, you got to admit, of the three programs that are run by the WWE, to me, the NXT is the best. I love NXT. It is so well done.
It is good. It's very good. I'm happy that they put the belt. They have a new female champion for NXT. That was a great match. And I know we're getting off of AEW. We'll get right back on it here in just a second. With AEW, now, where are all the fanboys now? Because they're saying, oh, they're going to beat them in the ratings. And for the, what was it? AEW has beat them in the ratings, what, maybe three or four weeks in a row, or four or five?
You know, I'm not going to put a lot into the ratings right now. Just not going to do it.
I got you.
Uh-huh. And here's the reason why. You've got so much product out there, you know, and then you have people that are watching on YouTube. People that are catching up on, you know, maybe the highlights on YouTube, and they, and then it's the holiday season, so I'm not gonna do this ratings thing that a lot of people are into, if like NXT had maybe 80,000 more viewers according to this survey on Wednesday, past Wednesday night.
Yeah,
it doesn't make a hill of beans difference. Where are they making money? Are they not making money? That's all that anybody should care about is whether this group is making money or not making money. And if they're not getting the ratings, they'll go away. And if they don't get the ratings and don't get the money, they deserve to go away. So that's what I'm watching right now. But right now, I think the ratings are just a little bit skewed because of the holidays. And I think we just need to kind of hold off on that. And then and give the NXT guys the, you know, the credit in the world. They're putting championship match as the very first match of the night. I mean, you've got the NXT championship with some great star power there. This is the first match of the night, Adam Cole and Finn Balor. I wanted to watch it. I loved it. I thought it was awesome. So that's what I'm trying. Don't try to put too much into whether somebody has 50,000 more or 100,000 more watchers on a particular night, because until you start getting 2 to 3 times as many watchers, that's when the trouble starts. So give them a chance to look over and see what's going on, write some more storylines, which they really need to get more into the stories, and go from there. I think All Elite will be fine, but they're going to have to do some deep searching about some of the things they're doing. Somebody needs to kind of take over and say, no, let's not do this. Let's go in this direction. And then, you know, kind of try to develop some more younger talent. So I think that's where we'll go.
Well, heck, they have the Tony Khan did a stunner on one of the wrestlers. They had him on a video on YouTube where Tony Khan jumps into the ring and gives one of the wrestlers a stunner. Now, if that's not saying Oscar Mayer red coat, I don't know what is. So you've got the owner of the company going and doing stunners. Are you trying to say you want to be like Vince McMahon?
More than likely.
So, okay. Well, let me help you, Tony. You didn't do that stunner correctly.
Yeah.
You didn't do the stunner correctly.
Don't.
You just stay away.
Just leave it to the stars. Leave it to the professionals. Tell that story. Yeah. Get the storylines going. Get MJF doing some more stuff out there. That's what they need to do. They need to develop that new star that's going to grab somebody. And Zane and I actually talk a lot about this on our portion of the podcast, talking about MJF and other things that they might need to think more about as far as that. And I have nothing wrong with what Jericho's doing. You know, people talk about his physique now. I don't care. Is he still fun to watch? Does he cut a great promo? Yes.
And that was a heck of a match with him and Jungle Boy.
It was. It was fun.
Yeah.
And they told a story with it. That's what I liked.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. So.
Yes, they did. They told a story, all right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and we'll have to give our condolences to Diamond Dallas Page. Very sorry for your loss, sir, that you have lost your wife to divorce.
Oh,
you lost your wife to divorce. Sorry about that. Try some more yoga.
yogurt. I didn't know that.
Or yoga, whatever you have. Yeah. But yeah, I read that on the, I made sure it was true, and it is true.
Uh-huh.
I mean, yeah, I feel bad for the man, but you know, he's not hurting for money and he'll be okay. And
yeah.
I feel bad for DDP, but, you know, he don't need to be in the ring either. A 63-year-old man inside the ring. No, Diamond, stay out of it.
Yeah,
you're good. Don't get me wrong.
But him bringing somebody to the ring, I have no problem with that.
No, I have no problem.
Yeah, he's not in there performing
the
and all that. I just
no.
Yeah, so.
No, but him and I would like to see Diamond Dallas Page and MJF one time in the ring, just to see it. But I don't know if it would bring. I don't think you'd bring any pay per view buys, or I really don't think so. But that's passing the torch.
Yeah.
To a new wrestler that's going to lead the way. So,
So I'm just saying with All Elite, they're still newborns. And they're making mistakes. And we talked about what would happen when they had their first botches, when they screwed up a storyline, and that's what's happening. They're starting to go down a little bit. But now they're going to have a chance to re-up themselves and do better. And they're going to be in our former backyard the first week after the holidays. They're going to be in South Haven, Mississippi, just outside of Memphis, Tennessee, for a Wednesday night show.
That's going to be good.
Yeah.
That would be nice to see. Yeah. AEW there.
Wow. Yeah.
That would be interesting to see.
Yeah. So that's all I had to talk about with All Elite. I think the factions are a little bit too much. They need to back off of that and maybe concentrate on maybe I'd get rid of the Dark Order. I mean, I would just drop them in a heartbeat.
It makes no sense.
Yeah. So we're going back to the WWE with their tables, ladders, and chairs. Mm. And you didn't like it.
It wasn't that good. I mean, The Miz and Bray Wyatt. Okay. No. I wanted to see The Fiend. I didn't want to see Bray Wyatt.
Uh-huh.
But you tell me this. Did you like the way they had the storyline with The Miz and Bray Wyatt? Was it dull or was it? I thought it was good.
I didn't like it. The one reason was they brought children into it. I didn't like that part. As far as what The Miz and Bray did, I enjoyed that part of the match.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping they would do something a little bit different at the end with Daniel Bryan than they did. And just kind of a spoiler alert, because I think it's on the second part of this podcast, but I'll go ahead and repeat it again. I was fully expecting them, because the way the announcers are saying this is going against The Fiend changes a wrestler, changes people. I was fully expecting Daniel Bryan to come out in that match at Tables, Ladders, and Chairs. But I fully expected him to attack The Miz and then maybe put on the mask.
Ooh.
I thought that would have been such an absolute great storytelling opportunity for them to have Bray Wyatt and The Miz both with the mask and, you know, being part of that Wyatt family and the Firefly Funhouse and build that all the way up to WrestleMania.
Yes.
And now you've got the Yes Movement back, which I'm okay with.
Mm-hmm.
But as Zane says, we've already seen the Yes Movement.
Big time.
Let's do something else with it. And I just think they had a missed opportunity to really get Daniel Bryan even farther over than he is.
I just wonder how much they paid him to shave off that beard.
Yeah, he looks like a little boy, doesn't he?
He looked like the old Bryan Danielson from Ring of Honor.
That's true.
And it was good. But when they brought out that big hammer, that mallet, the only thing I could think of was, is this the Joker?
It's Harley Quinn.
That was Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Like, what in the world are y'all doing? But Tables, Ladders, and Chairs was okay. It wasn't the greatest thing in the world. I didn't care for it. They had a lot of ladders, and they had some tables and some chairs. But ladders, and chairs. Huh? Go ahead.
I can tell you why you didn't like it.
How come?
Lack of buildup.
Yeah, that's true.
There was no buildup to it. It was just like, okay, we have tables, ladders, and chairs coming up. Okay, we'll have tables, ladders, and chairs. No reason why somebody attacks somebody with a chair, Matt, you know, with a chair and say, well, I challenge you to a chairs match. I challenge you to a tables match. I'm going to do a TLC match with you. It was just like, oh, the tag team match now is going to be a TLC match with the New Day against the Revival, which was a fun match. I enjoyed the match, but where was the build up to it? There was none. That's why you did not enjoy TLC, because there was no build up to TLC, because they were doing too many other things.
I think the WWE has just they've got too many irons in the fire now. They've got SmackDown, they got Raw, they got NXT, and they've just got way too much, and I don't think they can keep up with their own storylines anymore.
That's true.
That they just can't keep up with it. It's not, and their storylines are the Lana Rusev and all that. I'm just about to be sick of seeing this.
We've seen it all before.
We've seen this before. How many times does a person have to get divorced, or how many times does a person have to be or getting on the knee and proposing marriage? I have seen this enough. Believe me, I've seen it in real life. It has been me. So I don't need to see this now.
You're almost up there with Jerry the King Lawler in marriages.
I'm about to be a 16-time marrier.
Oh, okay.
let me have a belt. The Rusev thing is stupid. And nobody cares for it. Nobody likes it.
There's not much buzz for it at all. So
no, and then you got the you got the Baron Corbin go away, and the dog, the big dog. That match was okay. It was good, but nobody likes Baron Corbin.
Mm-hmm.
Go away, Heat. Go away.
Yeah.
But it just TLC was, it was no good.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
If they would have done it, TLC just went off the back end and say, we're not going to do a tables, ladders, and chairs match for TLC. We're going to have a dog collar match. Because of the dog food incident, would that have made it more interesting? But would have made it more interesting for a match to have them, you know, dog collars and, you know, do like an old Texas death rope match where they had to touch all four corners and they could have used tables, ladders, and chairs and that, but it was like, I'm going to do a TLC match, you know. There was no tie-in.
They could have had a match where to win, you have to put your opponent through four tables.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how, you have to put your opponent through four tables.
Yeah.
Or the dog collar match, I don't know if it would have worked or not because, number one, they're not going to allow blood.
Uh-huh.
They're not going to allow them to beat each other with the dog collar or the chain. I don't know if it would have worked or not, but I know one thing absolutely disgusted me is when they put all that dog food on Roman, how he didn't lose his lunch. I'll never know, but I bet his puppies loved him when he came home.
I bet it was Spam. I didn't know either that or potted meat.
Well, potted meat's good on crackers, on Ritz crackers.
No.
Oh, you don't like potted meat? That is the country boy's pate.
Oh. Ooh, I hate potted meat. So.
It's horse.
Yeah, it is. Anyway,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, is there anything else you want to talk about at this time?
Well, the only thing that I got to say is, guys, listen to the podcast a little bit more. And we've asked everyone to say their prayers for Uncle David for his surgery. It went well. We're really happy for you, sir, that your surgery went excellent. Although you did look like you went 10 rounds with Mike Tyson in that photo.
Oh, I had my ears intact. That's about it. So
When I saw the arm up in the air, I said, okay, if he drops it, that's one. That's one. Be like Hulk Hogan and get up and you say, he's hulking up? No. No, I mean, we're all happy that your surgery went very well.
Thank you.
And we from all of us from Turnbuckle Trash, you're the man that makes this show happen. We love you to death, and it's perfect.
Thank you, guys,
give this man a round of applause. When he gets knocked down, he always gets back up, and he keeps coming back for more.
And
that's all I got to say.
Huh? As Dusty Rhodes would say, I know about hard times. I know about hard times. It's like when you're trying to put food on the table, and you get laid out from your job. You got to find the money. You got to find, because it's hard times.
Hard times.
Hard times.
Hot time. But you know what? That's one man I really miss in professional wrestling, Dusty Rhodes.
Yep, me too.
That man could cut a promo in 5 seconds.
Yep.
But no, I mean, that's it for the, let's see what the next pay-per-view. I don't know if, does AEW have anyone coming up?
I think there's two pay-per-views coming up in January, maybe three. Uh-huh. I think, you've got one from, NWA. You've got one from, the getting the road to WrestleMania going, Royal Rumble, and I believe All Elite has one in January. Yeah. That's going to be taking place in Tampa, I believe. So, yeah, it's going to be an exciting time. So,
well, watch the NWA because I want to see who's going to win that new television championship. I've already picked the guy that I think will win.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the question mark.
Could be.
I'll go with the. Or Nick Aldis.
Could be. We'll have to see, won't we?
We'll have to see and see it goes on.
Okay.
It was fun, guys. I appreciated it.
All right. Coming up next, we'll be talking more with Zane Peterson next on Turnbuckle Trash.
Here's how obsessed I was with wrestling action figures when I was a kid. Not only did I look for any available opportunity to get new action figures and bring them into my little wrestling world in my bedroom, but every Christmas, and I'm not making this up, every Christmas, I would go underneath the Christmas tree. And you know those little figures of Jesus and Mary and Joseph? Well, I would steal them and bring them into my bedroom and then launch this NWO biblical invasion on all of my regular wrestling action figures. And I'd be calling the action, too. I'd be like, Coco, beware, goes up to the top rope. Whip. Good Lord Almighty, here comes the three wise men. Oh, my God. They're handing out gifts of gold, frankincense, and whoop-ass. Oh. Oh. It's the Bethlehem Wrecking Crew. Folks, we knew Bobby Heenan had something up his sleeve. We didn't think it was going to be this. Oh, my Lord. Somebody just nailed the Deuteronomy driver. And here's the thing, folks. Later on in the evening, my dad would always come up to me and be like, hey, buddy, just want to ask you about this. Can you please tell me why baby Jesus is wearing the NWA heavyweight title? And I'd answer him truthfully. I'd say, well, to be honest with you, Dad, the reason baby Jesus is wearing the NWA title is because he's afraid to give Ric Flair a rematch. You know it. I know it. And the whole damn bedroom knows it, brother. Baby Jesus, diamonds are forever, and so is Ric Flair, brother. Woo!
Am I the real Santa Claus, everyone?
What?
What are you doing?
I'm trying to get ready for Christmas.
Well, the tree was supposed to be trimmed a long time ago.
It just got here. I don't have stars. I don't even have any balls or ribbons or bells.
Oh, don't do it. The world's strongest slam becomes the sleigh ride tonight.
I guess we're having Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho!
Well, if you believe in Santa Claus, then believe this, my friend.
Wait a minute!
Great. Merry Christmas!
The million-dollar man has bought Santa!
That's right, Santa.
What do you mean he bought
some
Santa?
What are you doing now?
I'm trying to
Why
get ready
you
for Christmas.
Why don't you just sit down?
I can't. There's a tree in my chair.
You're not the real Santa Claus, who are you? You are.
John Cena!
Wait a minute!
Mr. McMahon going for a sleigh ride!
Santa needs to quit that. That is not a fair fight. That's a bad example to kids
oh,
worldwide.
Look out! The Christmas is saved!
Am I the real Santa Claus?
Kid, you say he's the real Santa Claus or not? Santa, straight from the bottom of Stone Cold's heart, I got a little Christmas present for you myself. Oh, hell yeah!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
This isn't a social event. This is a competition where there's one winner. You don't see the outfits before a fight playing with jacks and juice boxes. No, no, they talk trash and they beat the crap out of each other.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I gotta give a shout out to our friends at Devotion Championship Wrestling.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they did what was that, the show that they did just recently?
30-minute Iron Man match.
Yeah, they did.
Wasn't it?
A 60-man Iron Man match.
60-minute
with Sam Adonis and Manny Lemons, and evidently it was incredibly good. I haven't seen the video of it yet. But also they did a I Quit match with Andrew Sowell and Tom Chad. That there's a video out there, and I think I even put it onto our Turnbuckle Trash Facebook page, and you can find it just about any place. But you want to see a creative spot that involves a grocery shopping cart in the middle of the ring? When Andrew Sowell was sent through the opening of the grocery shopping cart.
Oh, that was hilarious.
And then Tom Chad's beating on him with that and a big screen TV. I mean, when was the last time you saw a big screen TV used as a weapon? So my hat's off to those guys. Very creative, very well done. I'm loving Devotion Championship.
Well, how funny was the DNA match?
Oh yeah.
I mean, you have a promotion out of Salt Lake City that is telling better storylines right now than the largest promotion in the entire world.
Okay, let's set this up. Tell us what the DNA match was all about.
Oh,
okay?
So we've got
Von Clutch.
Mm-hmm.
From, he's the server from California.
Right.
And our good buddy Tombstone Jesus.
Love the Tombstoner.
Apparently, in the late 70s, early 80s, Tombstone spent some time in California.
Yes.
And there is a rumor on the street that Otto Von Clutch just might be Tombstone's bastard child.
I love it. And, you know, Tombstone told me when I was doing the announcing that for that one show, he says, I was there in the 70s, and yeah, I know his mom, and it could be. I was all I could do to keep from laughing right in his face because it was so well done. I loved every minute of it. Now, go ahead.
So his match has to take a DNA test, and if Tombstone is Otto Von Clutch's father, then he has to pay back child support to
him. Yep.
Come on, dude. That's funny.
It is funny.
That's great stuff right there.
And then you have a guy who's in tremendous physical condition in Tombstone. I mean, this guy, I don't think he has any body fat on him. I mean, he's in tremendous condition. And the crowd loves him. I mean, they love the Tombstoner. So then he's got this Otto Von Clutch who kind of looks like the surfer dude. He comes out in a wetsuit and everything and kind of looks like Tombstone a little bit. And they play it up a little bit and they do a lot of stuff on social media about it. Tombstone wins the match so he doesn't have to take the DNA test. And then tell us what happens, Zane.
Oh, boy.
It's great. Then
Otto's mother was in the house.
Oh, yeah.
And they attacked Tombstone. And the queen tried to intervene.
Tombstone's.
But they were able to cut some of Tombstone's hair to get a DNA test anyways.
So fun. What a great, I mean, that is such great storytelling. That's amazing, isn't it? Telling the story in the ring? And even dude, outside the ring on social media?
That social media with them has been so awesome. I mean, Tom Chad and Andrew Sowell going back and forth, a little Facebook, 2-3 minute videos. I mean, I love the one Tom Chad's out in the alley. And all of a sudden the camera's like, oh, hey there. I'm just gathering stuff for and he's out there in this back alley gathering trash for their match. I mean,
and then they've got
awesome.
They've got a tag team tournament going on right now with the Brother Smith, one of the favorites to win. The Brother Smith go over to Colorado and they actually win tag team gold and bring it back here to Salt Lake City in Utah. These guys are just, I mean, they're thinking things through. They're trying to tell a story and they're having, dare I say it, fun doing it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Brother Smith alone are a better character than any tag team in the WWE right now.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure that guys like, EOC could probably out-wrestle him.
Yeah.
There's probably no doubt in my mind, But as far as character-driven, I mean, those guys are funny. The character fits their personalities.
Yeah. Have you ever talked to Brother Chadwick?
They work it. And they work it. I love them. They come out carrying sacrament trays.
And then the guys themselves, their personality is such. I mean, Brother Chadwick's a little bit shorter, stockier. He is hilariously funny. And then you get Brother Austin, who's a little bit taller, blonde, the all-American good looks. And they both work so hard at their characters. Brother Chadwick, Brother Austin, Brother Dr. Dave here is saying, good job,
dude,
man. It's awesome.
Great.
Yeah, I love it.
It's funny, man.
Yeah,
it is. Funny. And the thing that I love, too, about it is it's, in the Utah culture, it's slightly
sacrilegious?
I don't know if I'd quite go sacrilegious because they're not doing anything, they're not burning crosses and worshiping false idols or anything, but you know, it could be considered a little bit controversial in the in the state of Utah and in the LDS culture, which we know Utah is heavily influenced by the LDS culture.
Right. And we are both LDS. We're not offended by it.
So. Dude, I'm not offended by it, but I think it's great because sometimes a little bit of controversy brings attention to your program.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying you got to be a...
Holy bleep!
Like MJF. I mean, everybody hates that.
Holy bleep!
Asshole. You know, a little bit of controversy doesn't hurt.
Tell us how you really feel about MJF.
MJF's good, dude.
Yes, he is, isn't he?
But everybody hates him.
Right. Oh, that's hilarious. Oh, wow.
So let's downshift a little bit here, Dave. We've talked about stories. We've talked about pay-per-views. I want to talk about something that you mentioned earlier in the program about Bobby Roode.
Right.
Violating the wellness policy, which I scratched my head because the wellness policy, I'm like, really? You know, what does that mean? I don't know.
Right.
You know, when Adam Rose gets cut from the WWE for having a prescription for Adderall, I don't know how that violates the wellness policy. I mean,
especially since he had been struggling with that particular... It was used for a mental issue he has, and he struggled with that his entire life. Give me a break, you know.
You know, and we don't know what Bobby Roode did. I don't know. Was there? I don't know what he did, but you shared an article and you tagged me in it on the Facebook page about Jim Ross saying that he doesn't see anything wrong with steroid use in professional wrestling. And quite frankly, I don't either.
If it's under a doctor's care, that's all I care about.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, so I'll give a personal example. I take a steroid shot every week. I have a low testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
So I am prescribed a testosterone shot every week, which is a growth hormone, which is, you know, I guess could be slightly controversial. And I haven't killed anybody yet.
Except for MJF. And where you were talking about MJF, I don't know, man.
The key word is there yet, Dave.
Yeah.
You know, Lance Armstrong, we've talked about this many times on the program. You know, Lance Armstrong gets banned from cycling. It's like, okay, I would like to see all the armchair quarterbacks out there jump on a bicycle and pedal it halfway across the United States, America, and not be on some kind of performance-enhancing drug. I'm not saying you got to go shoot up some roids and bench 900 pounds. I'm saying, you know, these guys perform 300 days a year. They have to work out in hotel freaking weight rooms. They have to find a local gym in the midst of traveling and flying and driving to stay in shape. Look at Chris Jericho, okay? Everybody's dogging on Chris Jericho because of his physique right now. And you know, I'm sure if he was in the WWE, people would be dogging on him even more.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see anything wrong with Christopher Jericho's physique. The guy's tough as nails.
And
he would probably beat you and I both up with one arm tied behind his back.
Uh-huh. At the same time.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, he has a gut. No, he doesn't. The guy's rock solid.
What he has done is he stopped doing all the weight training and everything, and he's using DDP yoga.
Yeah.
And how many people that are doing DDP yoga are seeing fantastic results?
Well, and Chris, he said he was in an interview and he talked about that it's in the ring, especially at his age,
mm-hmm.
it's more important to be able to move and to be able to, you know, work the ring than have a chiseled six pack, which is fake anyways. I mean, to get, there's ways that athletes and people cheat to get, you know, they're like, oh, if you want to get big, then you do this, this, and this, you know. If you want to get toned, then you do this, this, and this. I mean, I don't know if I'd call it cheating, but there's other workout regimes that they can do to make your physique look the way you want it to. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at all the guys that compete in the World's Strongest Man competition.
Oh, man.
They've all got beer bellies the size of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And they're over there lifting John Deere tractors. You know, it's like, so what are you going to say about those guys? Oh, he's got a beer belly. Yeah. Yeah, you know why? Because he just lifted a John Deere tractor and he's going to go celebrate by drinking a keg of beer.
You sound like you like Otis of heavy machinery, you know?
I mean, so what if Chris Jericho wants to go drink a little bit of the bubbly? So what if Bobby Roode wants to shoot up with some freaking human growth hormones when he's on the road performing in front of the audience that demands him to look good 300 days out of the year?
Well, I don't disagree with you. I just want it to be under a doctor's care. And then I'm going to go back into baseball history a little bit with Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa. Everybody went so crazy with the steroids controversy there. But what Mark McGwire was taking at the time, and I cannot remember the exact name, but he was taking it at a time that it was legal. And then he stopped taking this supplement as soon as it became illegal. Now there's a lot
HGH.
Yeah. And then there's a lot of talk about him being shot up illegally and stuff. And that's not what I'm talking about. If it's under a doctor's care, and they have a physician that is known to say, look, you've got this injury. This is going to help that injury. This is going to help you recover more. Then I'm all for it. Now, just going out to the back alley and buying horse steroids because it's going to give you five more pounds of muscle, no, I'm not for that. What I'm for is being able to have these guys heal up a little bit quicker and to perform better, but it does need to be under a doctor's care.
Yeah, you know, there's been you know, a lot of controversy too in like the Olympics and stuff with these antler sprays and things like that, because they say that like antlers in animals contain stuff that, because antlers grow year after year and they grow every year, they grow stronger and stronger and stronger. And there's always controversy about antler spray too, that it causes, you know, but you can supposedly heal faster from injuries and recovery times to workouts when you do this antler spray. And I mean, I don't know, man. Yeah. I mean, everybody's essentially cheating anyways. I mean, think about like creatine and pre-workouts. I mean, pre-workouts are jammed full of caffeine and B vitamins and stuff to get your heart rate up so that you can burn more calories while you're working out. Isn't that considered cheating?
I would hope so. And I'm just going to take you back to 5-hour energy drinks. Holy crap, how dangerous are those? That little bitty thing that is like the equivalent of 2 or 3 cups of coffee at one shot. There have been people that have heart attacks and die because of that. But no, that's being sold on TV. There is there's a little bit of hypocrisy here with what is and what is not accepted. And I'm going to be very controversial when I say this, because there are going to be people out there who are going to say, oh, it's only because of your religion. But hell no, it's not because of my religion. It's because I care about people. I am so daggum tired of watching all these liquor ads and all these beer ads on TV that show, oh, people are having a great time because they're drunk. Have you ever seen a drunk? Have you ever been around an alcoholic? Have you seen what it does to families? I'm not saying not go out there and drink. I just wish people would use their daggum brain about it. I don't drink. I choose not to drink, but I see it harming people each and every day. And now we're talking about human growth hormone and steroids that can help people be healthier. And then they say, oh, don't do that because it's unnatural. But you can go get a 12-pack of Natty Light and get blasted each night and not be considered an alcoholic. I think that's his hypocrisy. I really do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's everything is essentially there to create a crutch or a little bit of a cheat. I mean, even coffee is a cheat.
Exactly.
You know, why can't you wake up on your own? Well, the same reason why Sylvester Stallone, when he's 65, uses human growth hormones to get in shape for Rocky.
Right.
I mean, the guy's 65.
Right.
And he puts on muscle because he's got to take his shirt off for Rocky. I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger in the latest Terminator, he didn't take his coat off. But is he in his...
I think he's in his 70s, yeah.
70s? He got down to his same weight and body fat as he did in Terminator 2. Hmm. And the guy's 70 years old.
Right.
Do you think Arnold did it all natural?
See, that's the whole thing that we're talking about is and you know, I don't drink coffee, but I'm a Diet Mountain Dew addict, you know? I love Diet Mountain Dew and I drink way too much of it. I realize that. There are people out there that love coffee. Hey, I have no problem with coffee. I don't care. I don't drink it, but I don't care. I don't have any problem with people drinking alcohol. I don't care. Where I care is when it affects you physically and mentally. And then it causes other problems. That's when I care. And that's why I say, let these doctors work with these performers. And, you know, that's what they are. They are performers. Let them be the best they can be, but under a doctor's care. And I have no problem
absolutely.
With that.
I couldn't agree more. There's a documentary called Bigger, Stronger, Faster that is very excellent. Very, very excellent and very well made. And this kid, this guy that's doing it, he talks about, he goes in depth for steroids and not just steroids, but workout supplements, things like that. And he takes that controversy on and he talks about his brother was a jobber for the WWE. And he talks about how, you know, the big steroid controversy with the WWE back in the late 80s and early 90s. It's a great documentary. If you haven't seen it, anybody that's listening, check it out. It was on Netflix. I don't know if it's still on there, but it's Bigger, Stronger, Faster. And it really changes your mind on steroids and the usage of things like that. Great show, Dave.
Yeah, a lot of fun, a lot of fun.
So I do have some breaking news for you.
Okay.
I will be in the Stitchin' the weekend after Christmas.
Oh, joy. Oh, rapture.
A special episode, face-to-face, Turnbuckle Trash.
We'll try to get Chris on the phone, too.
With Dave recorded live in Stitchin'.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
In case anybody doesn't know what the Stitchin' is, it's the studio kitchen.
It's the studio kitchen.
It's where Dave records.
That's where I'm at right now, in the studio kitchen.
In the Stitchin'.
And then I thought we would do like a year-end discussion of our favorite moments, our favorite tag teams, performers, news stories, that kind of thing, and things that just upset us sometimes. So
that sounds great, Dave. Sounds great. Well, Dave, great show for just a let's tell everybody a little bit of backstory. I've been working in St. George all day. I've got to drive back to Manti tonight. So I was bored and I texted Dave. Yes, I texted while I was driving. Don't tell the Utah Highway Patrol.
Oh, gas.
We just thought about all this off the top of our heads. Yeah, I'd say that this is great to just be able to on a whim call up Dave and discuss professional wrestling like it was almost scripted, like the WWE.
Well, at least we thought things through and they didn't.
Yes.
Where's the story at, WWE?
Lack of story.
Yeah.
So.
Well, cool,
Dave,
man.
Great time. Great chatting with you. And I'm just about to approach my I-70 interchange, and I lose service right through here sometimes.
All righty.
So I thank you for putting on this nice program, and I thank you for the work that you do behind the scenes of editing and publishing the podcast. You always do a great job of that, putting your little radio touch on it. So good job there, Dave.
Thank you.
Have absolutely nothing good to say about Chris. I hope that he decides to pick up trash on the side of the freeway, maybe stumble out, you know, in front of a semi truck one day. Woo! I don't know. Just kidding. I love Chris, and he knows that I do.
Yes.
I love Chris, but I have to give him a hard time.
Yes, you do.
It's in my DNA.
And we'll get tested with Tombstone next time, okay?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Thanks, Dave. Have a great night.
You too.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair, woo!
They're dropping everywhere, Dave. They're dropping everywhere.
Oops. This guy right here is about as boring as a tuna fish sandwich. I about dropped my phone when she did it. I was... Ooh. Oops. Ooh.
Good Lord Almighty, here comes the three wise men. Oh, my God. They're handing out gifts of gold, frankincense, and whoop ass. Oh. Oh.
Who's the fat guy that walked into, like, the church? Who is this guy?
Kind of looked like me, I'll tell you that.
You stuck-up hoe bag.
That is the country boy's cafe.
As you always say, butts in the seats.
Ooh.
Hey, what was cool 5 years ago?
I love it. That was the stupidest storyline I've ever seen in my life.
Ooh.
I love it.
I love it, too. Oops. Everybody hates that.
Holy bleep!
Oops. You know.
You'd have to keep your finger on that bleep button.
Holy bleep!
Guys, get along. Oh, you, although you did look like you went 10 rounds with Mike Tyson in that photo.
Oh, I had my ears intact. That's about it, so...